You're listening to WORT Madison. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. We come and listen and support it. Michael, my dear. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got a year. Nice. The sugar and spice. I feel nice. The sugar and spice. So nice, so nice. I got you.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, and Mr. Smarty Pants is gone, actually, for 3 weeks, but Luke is here with us.
Hello.
Hi, Luke. How you doing?
Doing all right. How are you? Happy New Year.
Hey, same to you. I haven't seen you in ages. I've talked to you over the
It's nice to see you now. In the flesh.
Yeah, I'm pretty fleshy, especially after the 2 weeks of Christmas eating.
But yeah, a little more flesh.
Yeah. So how you been?
I've been all right. I had a good holidays. Yeah. I visited my parents for a couple weeks.
You went to Virginia.
Yep. Down south. Mm-hmm. It's good to be a little warmer weather down there.
Yeah.
I don't mind the cold, but it is... It's surprising, if not nice, to be in shorts on a Christmas Eve.
Yeah, I'd see people in shorts on Christmas up here too.
Well, we don't talk to those people.
They're the ones that come up and tell you what they had for breakfast.
Yeah.
So you get along with your family well?
That's
nice to hear.
It is nice. Yeah. It's every family's got its complicated dynamics around the holidays, especially, but.
Sure.
Have a good time and enjoy spending some time with them.
Good.
I don't get to see them too often because we live so far apart.
Yeah. Are they hill folk? They live in the hills up there?
They do live in the hills. I don't know if they would identify as hill folk, but they might be listening to this right now, actually.
coming into town with their bag of skins.
Yeah. No. My dad's a hunter, and he used to, he used to do all the deer processing in our backyard.
Uh-huh.
So we would just have a deer carcass hanging.
Yeah.
And friends would come over after school, and there would just be a dead animal hanging from the tree in the backyard, which isn't that uncommon.
No,
you know?
No, not really. So,
even here.
Yeah, so, that's true. So when I grew up, my folks, I vaguely remember this. I was pretty young, but they both grew up in farms, during the Depression era. Mm-hmm. So they still had kind of that Depression mentality that we have to make our own food and grow our own, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But they raised chickens for a while, and then my dad would butcher them. And he would chop their heads off, and as the saying goes, the chicken would run around without its head on for a while. And as little kids, we thought it was hilarious. We would just laugh. That's what we did for entertainment in my hometown.
At some point, you look back and had questions about why.
Who was that man chained in the garage? We were never supposed to talk to.
I have a memory of. My dad chasing my sister around, my sister and I around, with two deer legs, walking them to us. It's like
that sounds like a horror movie.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
They had one antlers or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's funny. So. Oh, yeah. So Smarty Pants is gone. He said he's going to, I forget, he said either Norway or Stoughton
for
3 weeks.
So. Maybe both.
It could be. He might have split it up.
He could have, maybe he passed out and then woke up in Stoughton and thought he was in Norway.
We've all done that.
Yeah, who hasn't?
Sitting to my.
Who amongst us?
Exactly. So, let's see. Here's the... Very unexpected story. Possible measles exposure detected after unvaccinated traveler visits the Ark Encounter. Are you familiar with the Ark Encounter?
I'm not specifically, but I'm going to make a guess that that is one of those Christian, you know, Noah's Arks.
Yeah, it's a okay. big deal. It's in Kentucky, and
wait, I've driven past it.
Ken
yeah.
Ham is the guy that he got all this state money to build this thing, but my favorite story is one time it flooded there, and so they had to shut down because Noah's Ark got flooded. But
they didn't design this boat very well.
How many cubits was it supposed to be?
They're trying to convert cubits to metric, but then we're in America, so you got to convert it again. Yeah.
A lot of times those rounding errors they magnify after a while. But it's also kind of like a creationist museum. I think they have pictures of like dinosaurs on the Ark and stuff like
the
that.
The misidentified bones of dinosaurs.
Yeah,
or something. Yeah.
To show you that, you know.
What do they think dinosaurs are? Are dinosaurs part of the creation story?
I think they're part of the creation. Okay. I mean, I suppose, you can change your story depending on, you can either say Satan put those
bones
there.
You can do whatever you want.
And just to fool us, or God put those there to test us.
Yeah.
Or they really were dinosaurs 6,000 years ago, and they all died off.
What are their thoughts about aliens?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah.
Because the Bible is pretty earth-centric.
Yeah.
Okay, he created the universe. Yeah, yada, yada, yada. Now we'll get to the good
stuff. But, if God is all-powerful, why would he just put life on one planet?
Yeah.
You know? Or maybe the other planets don't exist, and they're just another test.
Yeah. He's testing us, or Satan is fooling us.
Tricky guy.
See, the thing is, though, he's supposed to be all-powerful, but he had to rest on the seventh day.
I know.
Oh, hey, here's somebody who can tell us about religion. Saga is here. Hi.
I think even God has to take a break. Here we are in the era of the time of resolutions, and just know that you don't have to do everything.
Yeah.
Because even God rested on the seventh day.
If he had to rest, I mean, that shows that he's not all powerful, that he had some sort of limitations.
Or he's just chill.
Or he's just wanted to watch football or something. The Packers are on. Come on.
Yeah, what am I going to do? It's football day.
But my point is that if he was going to make billions of other planets, that would take a long time. If he was going to, work 6 days and then, have a short mm-hmm. weekend, and so.
What do you think of the 30-hour work week?
Yeah,
I think God would like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe he's got an AI productivity app that's really going to help him make all those new planets.
Ooh, yeah,
so he can kind of relax a little bit more, baby.
Well, he was phoning it in on some of those days. I mean, when he got to the humans, he goes, the orangutan's pretty damn close.
Yeah, close enough.
I'll just mess with that one a little bit. Well, Saga, how you doing?
So far, so good. This 2026.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Thank you, too.
Wonderful, much better year, I think.
Yeah, so. the last 26 hours, whatever.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Oh, did you go out partying on New Year's? Or?
I was bartending over,
oh, really?
Over at a big, big festive party.
We were both working there, actually.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, how was it?
It was great.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. I was doing projections for the show at Atwood Music Hall.
Oh, okay.
I saw a few Warp people there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They had these really cool, I just want to brag on your visual work. They had this big beach ball, like the size of, I don't know, a baby elephant.
Mm-hmm.
And on it, they were projecting digital disco ball, like flowers and planets. And
That was not me. That was Grant from the Earthlings.
Oh, sure.
He did. That stuff is so complicated because he's projecting like three different projectors pointing at this ball.
At a three-dimensional object.
Yeah. So you have to do all of this math to make it work. It was cool.
Wow.
And you were like videography.
Yeah.
I
was joking with Grant was set up next to me, for hours tinkering with the beach ball setup. And then I was sitting next to him and I was just like, he was just stressed, like on his like, coding on his laptop to make it work. And I was like, look what happens when I rewind the VCR. Isn't this cool looking? So my setup was a lot more analog. And
long time ago, I used to do kind of long form interviews with the musicians that came to town for Wart. Mm-hmm. And I went to the guy known as Mojo Nixon was going to be playing at the Barrymore. And you're probably not familiar with him, but he was kind of a wild, sarcastic, you know, semi-satirical, you know, funny guy. And anyway, so he comes out and I went there early and during the sound check. And they said, you can talk to him after the sound check and do your interview. And so he comes out and he's got a little amp and he plugs his guitar in the amp and he strums about three notes. He goes, all right, that's good.
Fastest sound check on record.
Sounds good to me.
Oh, so anyway. So yeah, so people got exposed to measles at the Ark Encounter. That's
did the measles come two by two?
They should have stayed in
I was waiting to come back to that one.
They should have stayed in the little measles cage.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that in Kentucky?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course it is.
Everything good is in Kentucky.
Yeah,
don't you know that?
It's a recreation of the Ark, mm-hmm. supposedly, but the exact measurements and stuff, and then they throw in a little creation museum stuff too.
So. Maybe when Mr. Smarty Pants comes back from, I don't know, Canada or wherever,
North Korea,
Kentucky.
But what are the odds you'd have an unvaccinated person going to the Creation Museum? They're probably all unvaccinated. I mean,
so. It's pretty good.
Speaking of measles, U.S. measles cases reach highest level in over 30 years. And that's according to the CDC, so it's probably much worse than...
Are they even staffed?
I don't know. I was surprised to see that. I really was.
The CDC is just ChatGPT. They're like, asking ChatGPT how many measles cases there are. Best guess.
Close enough.
Yeah. Oh, look, progress. The numbers are bigger.
Well, I mean, we laugh, but that was kind of the Musk thing when he went in with the chainsaw saying AI can do all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, it can't.
Yeah. Oh, no, you go.
I was just going to say, it's not curing the measles.
No. I don't know.
Can't even
it could. I mean, we already supposedly eradicated measles, right? So like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Where are you
going
with this?
That? I don't know. I'm going with that. Speaking of AI, though.
Yes.
I don't know the company, but they're like trying to build a data center in DeForest.
Yeah.
I don't. Have you heard about
that's
that? It's bad.
Evil coal.
Yeah.
I think it is called.
Well, supposedly it's the energy requirement for it is like two and a half times the total energy for the whole county. There's not really a punchline here. I'm just saying
we
should resist this and not like say, you know, just not in my neighborhood, but like none of these things should be built.
I mean, and they use tons of water. I mean, this is not news, but I mean, you know, and that's why they want to build up here because we have plenty of water
so
that they can ruin.
Mm-hmm. So, Wart plug on a public affair last Monday, Douglas Haynes, the host, spoke to three people, one of them as part of a group called No Data Center DeForest, and then some national groups who were resisting these AI data centers. And one of the guys said that people talk about water and they talk about noise pollution. They talk about how these data centers eat up land, but they're also going to produce so much e-waste.
Oh, yeah.
As things like, you know, become out of date, mm-hmm, such and so forth. So there, I don't know, like the scale, not only of like the space, but the environmental impacts like down the line.
Yeah,
shocking.
The thing that jumps out at me in all of these stories is that there's no organized review process for the public. I mean, they always seem to be, somebody just kind of finds out about it. And we find out at that point that, you know, the county board or the city council or whoever they're dealing with has been talking to them for months, and they're way down the road with these plans before they even, you know, threw it out to the public and saying, hey, this is what we're considering. Is this a good use of the resources in our county, in our community?
We don't have time for that. Are you kidding me? You gotta go fast.
There's a group called Milwaukee River Keepers who asked the city of Racine how much water the data center that was being built there was going to use, and they were told it was a trade secret that they couldn't find out.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
so what about an environmental impact statement?
Yeah. I mean, well, they finally released the records after Midwest Environmental Advocates filed a lawsuit.
Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to say is this is all this stuff is kind of like it's baked in already. Oh, we're just going to do this. And it'll be great, and everybody's going to love it. And they think nobody has any business, you know, having input into it or
a concerns. Trade secret. That's crazy.
A trade secret. Yeah.
It's not like the formula for the Big Mac sauce or something. It's like.
Our competitors.
We have to drink this stuff.
Our competitors are going to see how much water we use, and they're going to copy us.
I don't know if they know this, but humans need water to live.
Oh, we got all those Great Lakes; they're full of water. Scientists have found a quote yellow brick road at the bottom of the ocean, which is a. It's actually better to be there than in Kansas.
Did
and
AI
anyway,
write
so.
That headline?
It's getting so bad.
Where are
now
you getting your news?
When I'm doing this, when I'm looking for these stories, I see these stories and it's like, is this real? Did a real person, you know, that's the first question. Is it real? Yeah. And then after, did a real person write this? Is there anything here? And, you know, and you have to wade through like 19 paragraphs of, well, the Yellow Brick Road is renowned for, from the classic 1939 movie.
Maybe we should do that next week. We'll just do real or fake. Bring your story and the other person has to guess.
Oh, I thought you meant for the host.
Yeah.
Because they could easily, you know, have AI copy us.
So the Yellow Brick Road is at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, it's a deep ridge north of the Hawaiian Islands. And it was a dried up lake bed paved with what appears to be yellow bricks. The exploration vessel Nautilus, and we know who the captain of that was, discovered the eerie scene while surveying the ridge in the in a national monument.
You know what I think this is?
What?
I think this is remnants of the unfinished James Cameron remake of The Wizard of Oz. He was testing out his underwater filming gear that he used on Avatar.
Only would be like a 7-part series, you know?
Or this could be the set for a future movie that we're getting spoilers for.
Yeah,
I could be Avatar Wizard of Oz crossover.
Water World Part 2.
Yeah,
I like that movie.
Water World. I did too. I'm like, I thought I was the only one.
There are two
you guys
of us.
Found each other.
That explains a lot. Oh, another researcher said it's the road to Atlantis. So, not really, but that's what they said.
How do they know the bricks are yellow?
Computers, AI. They're made out of real gold.
I guess that's a deep question. If you,
they've got Trump's name on them there.
Yeah.
Luke and I were talking about the Iran protest before we came on the air.
Oh, yeah.
And our president, my favorite president and yours, has said he's going to protect the protesters.
Oh, yeah.
He said if, and this is his truth, his tweet, if Iran shots and violently kills peaceful protesters, so shots and kills, violently kills, which is their custom, the United States of America will come to their rescue. So if you're killed, we're going to come and rescue you, I guess. Mm-hmm. But we are locked and loaded and ready to go. Thank you for your attention to this matter. It's like he's writing to the manager at the Holiday Inn. It's like, there's bed bugs in my room. Thank you for your attention to this matter.
We're locked and loaded.
Locked
ready
and
to
loaded.
Go.
So, yeah, because this administration has done nothing but support the right to for peaceful protest and dissent.
Well, maybe it's like if you're going to kill peaceful protesters, we're gonna show you how it's really done. That's what the locked and loaded.
You're getting
means.
In on our bit yeah, here. Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, we're locked and loaded, and I mean this is a guy who like they tear gassed the protesters so they could get a photo op with Trump with the Bible.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So. And then he's always talking about how you got to be tougher with them, and of course, you know, all the stuff that ICE is doing, but no, we can't have them protesting there. So I think he's just trying to start another war that he can stop, so then he can can win the Nobel Peace
Maybe,
Prize.
He doesn't have one already.
He's got the FIFA priest.
Oh yeah.
<He's> but they got that at like the Rock County Fair. Right?
Next, he's going to have the Northrop Grumman Peace Prize. Man, you know, he's got a whole. What he's going to fill? I'm sure there's a bunch of trophy rooms in that new wing of the White House. He's got to get some stuff to put in them. You know?
Well, he's working on that because the White House has. Oh, okay. I got it here. They've closed 3 public golf courses in the D.C. area that the administration, that the government runs. And so the speculation is Trump's going to obviously take over these golf courses.
Yeah.
And then he'll play the first round and he'll be the champion.
Mm-hmm.
So he can... Be the
hold the
record for that course.
What if all the flags were like little Trumps, little Trump statues?
He should take over some like mini golf courses and just put his name on the windmill,
water parks,
and the clown. So, I know they've ended the lease agreement for 3 public golf courses, a move that offers the president an additional opportunity to put his stamp on another piece of the nation's capital. That's all. That's what we need. It's something called the National Links Trust. It's a nonprofit that has operated Washington's 3 public courses on federal land for the last 5 years. They said the Department of Interior had terminated its 50-year lease agreement. Interior said it was terminating the lease because the nonprofit had not implemented required capital improvements and failed to meet the terms of the lease. You know, Trump just said 3 golf courses. Gimme, gimme, gimme.
Gimme, gimme.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Let's turn everything into a golf course. Why not?
I don't know. Maybe he's got some more ex-wives to bury.
He should turn the mall in D.C. into a golf course. That'd be cool.
Oh, that's Well, see, that'd be a good putt-putt one.
Driving nice, range,
nice and flat.
Imagine it was just a massive mini golf. But there's like 20 mini golf courses.
Yeah, just right into Lincoln's mouth there.
There's already a water pool.
There's the water hazard.
Throw some floaties in
Lincoln,
there.
Now I know he doesn't like windmills, but you could put like a little windmill on the Lincoln Memorial. And
Trump doesn't like windmills?
He hates windmills.
Oh, because they don't burn. Oil.
That's one.
I thought there was something going on with Trump that he's
turned into phobia. He's turned into Don Quixote.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he honestly hates windmills.
I love Broadway and I hate windmills.
his dating that profile. Wesley Rabbit. No, apparently who knows what's going on in that little brain of his, but he's got a golf course in Scotland, and the Scotland put some windmills out in the ocean, and he said it ruined the view of his beautiful golf course, and so he's headed out for windmills, and he comes up with these like flimsy excuses about how it kills all the eagles or something.
You think he hates windmills because, going back to the mini golf, he just can't get past the windmill. Keeps bouncing his ball back.
So he did. He did. He used his two. I don't want to talk about Trump too much, but he vetoed a couple of projects this week. And it's the first vetoes of his second term.
Yeah.
And one it was curious because it was a clean water project. In eastern Colorado, which is a very red area, and it's Laura Bobart's district, And it was passed unanimously, passed by voice vote in the House and the Senate. So totally non-controversial, clean water, you know, who could be against that? And he vetoed it. And the you know, they came up with some flimsy reasoning that nobody believed. But so people are trying to say, is it because Boebert was pushing for the Epstein files?
Whoa.
And, you know, stepped out of line there, lady. And
retaliatory.
Yeah.
No clean water for you.
Drink your asbestos. It's good for you. And there was another one, too. It involved, I don't have it in front of me, and something with Native American tribes. So, you know, he probably just hates Native Americans or something. And so, but again, it was something that was totally non-controversial. And he did order a coal plant to stay open. It was in Colorado. I don't know how they have the authority to do this, but hang on a second. They told another coal-fired power facility to remain open, this time ordering the owners of a Colorado electricity generating unit to keep it running beyond its Wednesday retirement date. Compliance will cost Tri-State Generation and Transmission and the other owners. They'll need to do all kinds of upgrades to keep it running, but they wanted to shut it down. They didn't want it, so... but.
That big, beautiful coal.
Yeah, yeah, you gotta
clean
wash coal. Wash it up, and then put it right in there.
I found something from also in Colorado. There was a woman killed in a suspected mountain lion attack while hiking in northern Colorado. I used to live there, and this reminded me of a few years ago. There was this guy who fought off a mountain lion. And all these memes were created. He came, did a press conference. He had scratches all over him.
Uh-huh. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, you remember?
Yeah.
And then, but then it came out like a couple weeks later that it was a baby mountain lion. He never told anybody that. Which I guess is still impressive, but it's like.
It's only impressive because the mother wasn't around.
Yeah.
And didn't catch him. Oh, that's funny. So
I get on that baby versus, you know, live mm-hmm. adult size. I my partner, one of our first dates, we went to give blood and he fainted in the first 5 minutes or nearly fainted in the first 5 minutes of donating blood. And he said, well, at least I could have saved a baby with the amount of
I designated this for a baby.
It's for a baby, so it's all.
Don't be giving that to a grown up. So you went on your second date. You went to give blood. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a little unusual, isn't it?
Perhaps.
It's cute.
We're going good. It's great.
It seems like it works out well.
Did you
like
run some labs on him or something?
Yeah. I suppose that could have been a way to. Just like, what is your health type? Like, you know,
23andMe for on your third date. Yeah.
Just want to make sure we're not related. Oh, what else here?
I've got a fun one.
Yes.
Okay, this is a headline from the Associated Press. Bible sales keep growing, even as many Americans lose their religion.
I thought you were about to say lose their Bibles. It's like, that makes sense. They gotta buy a new Bible.
They must be losing their Bibles.
But Bible sales are up 11%
That's interesting.
Over 2024.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
I wonder, maybe like, do you think they're selling like collectible versions or something? Like, first edition.
Well, you got the Trump Bible.
Yeah.
First edition would be great.
Because that means that more the people who have Bibles are probably have more of them now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think there's more in the United States? Do you think there's more Bibles or do you think there's more guns?
Oh, that's
Good question.
Maybe AI can tell us later.
Okay.
I did look up, so, you know, Trump has his own Bible, and if you look up the God Bless the USA Bible, you can get one for $99.99, the presidential edition. There's also a first lady edition, a vice president edition, veteran edition,
really?
Platinum, golden age, inauguration.
Golden age.
Pink and gold, camo. There's one that's signed.
Camo?
Signed for $1,000. So, I mean, just take your pick. Maybe people are collecting all of them, you know?
Oh, that could be.
To have the whole set.
Yeah. It's possible people might be buying them just to, as a way of laundering money, as like bribing the president. So that might be why the sales are up. I saw, remember the okay, you can put on like gold Trump sneakers and read your Trump Bible. And but remember the Trump phone? They were going to come up with a Trump phone.
And
it was going to be gold, of course, and it was going to be non-woke and all this stuff, and they were supposed to have it by the end of the year, and you know, in 2025, and they haven't really talked about it much, so they're not really thinking they're on schedule with that delivery. They did take deposits though, so you had to put down like $100 deposit.
Oh my God. I guess. Yeah, you want to see the Bibles?
Yeah, I need to know which one to order.
Which one to order?
The Freedom Edition is kind of cool.
Valentine's Day.
All right, the First Lady Edition has the best color.
What are you guys
scheme.
Doing for Valentine's Day? Are you like, you know, gonna donate a kidney or something?
Oh, the Camo Edition is nice.
Yeah, that's the one I'd get.
Camo Bible.
Because then you could sit in the woods and read it.
Yeah, no one will know.
Yeah, that's probably why. But then if you drop it, you can't find it.
So yeah,
that's you have to buy another one.
You know,
that's why you got to get three.
Yeah, that's why sales are up. They keep losing them.
So. Yeah. I did put it in ChatGPT.
Yes.
Are there more guns or Bibles in the U.S.? ChatGPT says there are almost certainly more guns than Bibles in the United States right now. Civilian-owned firearms in the United States are around 393 million or more. That's roughly 1.2 guns for every person in the country.
Man, woman, and baby.
Mm-hmm.
1.2
guns per person.
Per person.
It's estimated tens of millions of Bibles are sold every year. Many Americans own multiple copies. Global estimates put the number of Bibles printed or distributed in the billions worldwide. But even though Bibles are in the hundreds of millions of copies, given the sales, blah, 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 doesn't reliably exceed gun count. So,
wow.
That is my God, ChatGPT.
It doesn't rest.
Yeah.
So, you know, the old story about the soldier who had the pocket Bible and put it in his shirt pocket, and then it saved his life because the bullet hit it. So we don't have enough Bibles to protect us from all those guns.
Yeah.
So we need more Bibles, I think.
Or mountain lions.
Or mountain lions, not babies either.
You pick your side, gun or Bible.
Well, it's like armor in Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You get your Bible. So, this is a sort of a related story. The chief of the Ku Klux Klan, who proclaims to be a Christian pastor. Let that sink in there. They got a picture of this guy. He's got a little sign, like a yard sign that says, "Love God, love your people." So, but anyway, he says he doesn't know whether black people can be saved and go to heaven, according to the Bible that he reads. In spite of what people say, the Bible doesn't address black people hardly at all, said KKK leader and Arkansas-based pastor Thomas Robb.
Oh, my God.
You know what's also not in the Bible? America. Zippers.
Tomatoes.
Yeah, zippers. Just think about all the things.
Zippers.
We invented race like 150 years ago. That's hilarious. It was Thomas Robb. It wasn't Rob Thomas.
It could be.
He's also in Matchbox 20.
Hey, you're listening to the Mel and Floyd Show here on WORT 89.9 on the FM. You might be listening on the internet at WORTFM.org. We put this show and all of our shows up on our archives page, and you can listen whenever you want. Thanks to Mindless Minion D-Cubed, you can listen via podcast through Spotify or Apple Pods or wherever. So we're sitting here today with Luke and Saga, and we're going to take a little break, play some announcements, and come back with... what do we got here? It's the Super Wolf Moon tomorrow.
Ooh.
Oh. I knew you would.
Get past the people. Get past the hitman.
Ooh.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in-Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Bernie's Rock Shop, located at 901 East Johnson, and our new shop, Bernie's on Park, at 636 South Park in Madison. We offer handmade silver jewelry as well as unique mineral, crystal, and fossil specimens from around the world. Store hours and more information available at berniesrockshop.com.
You know my face is getting short and I got the blues. I got a fucking job and I paid my dues on the good foot.
And we're back. Saga had to leave. She had to go to work. Mm-hmm. Go back to work, actually. So it's Luke and me.
Here we are.
Yeah.
I don't know why I never thought to do this before, but when we were in the break, I asked ChatGPT some more questions.
Okay.
I just asked to give me...
Sure, you don't want the data center. Give me... You keep using the damn...
Yeah. Listen, hypocrisy is not a valid point of attack anymore in 2026.
That's true.
I asked her for funny recent news stories to lighten the mood.
Yeah.
So we got Amy Poehler got in a fight on a plane after being scolded for cursing in front of Mean Girls co-star's baby. Amy Poehler's hilarious airplane story. Comedian Amy Poehler recently shared a wild and funny memory on her podcast about getting into a bit of a scuffle on a plane. Not over anything serious, but because someone scolded her for cursing in front of her Mean Girls co-star's baby. Her quote, Boston, came out in the retelling, and the whole thing sounds like something straight out of a sitcom. So here's where we are now.
Sounds like something AI came up with.
We're on the radio.
Yes.
And I'm reading to you what ChatGPT said about something that someone else said on a podcast.
Yeah. We could eliminate about 7 of those steps, I think, without losing anything.
Yeah.
I've actually done that before, too, like typed in, you know, what are some funny news stories. Mm-hmm. And that it just usually sends me garbage. I mean,
I mean, that's pretty much what I just read.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's AI. So. I like the time when somebody asked it about nutrition advice and it said, for good health, you should eat 8 or 9 small rocks every day.
I mean, that's what, all the minerals and iron and zinc.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They're just little tiny rocks you gotta eat.
Sure. Flintstone vitamins. Yeah.
Very small rocks.
Tiny little rocks. Not too big. Of course. That would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They have to be small enough so that they can dissolve in water.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're good. And then you're good.
Okay. The White House staff has requested shorter meetings so that the president doesn't fall asleep.
That's good. That's good. Maybe instead of shorter, they should just rig his chair to kind of like tip forward every 30 minutes.
A little shock.
Put
a shock collar on him.
Oh, man. That's funny. You can't... they also have to schedule the meetings before 2 p.m.
Before the sundown.
Yeah.
But he insists he doesn't fall asleep. He says he's blinking.
I mean, doesn't he only... Like, he's the type of person who only sleeps like 4 hours a night or something, right? Like,
yeah, yeah. Well, so, he's up rage tweeting all night.
Yeah,
long, so.
Yeah, yeah. But, so you got to get your rest in if you're going to be doing that.
That's his real job.
Yeah. I imagine those meetings are really boring, too. So
they are. I've almost fallen asleep in, you know, some government meetings. And, yeah. You know, I'm not proud. But
I fall asleep in exciting things.
I fall asleep during the show half the time.
I'm asleep right now.
I'm asleep and drunk. I just love the idea that they have to... We're concerned that the president is falling asleep.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Let's brainstorm this.
Yeah, loud noises.
So there were some bank robbers, and, you know, bank robbing is not a good thing. We can't condone that.
Depends.
Depends on the bank. If it's Wells Fargo.
Okay, sorry. Go on.
No. You can get me in trouble here, Luke. But so this was in Great Britain. There was a gang that got away with 300 million pounds.
Wow.
It's a lot of money. That's like probably almost, what, $45 million or something. I don't know how they got so much money, but anyway, when police were investigating this, they found that the bank robbers had parked in a parking ramp near the bank, and they had video of them like paying for the meter. But I guess they had plenty of money.
Well, I mean, you don't want to get busted for something.
You
want to
get a
like
ticket.
That.
Yeah. Like, that's like $50. I mean, so they have this funny video of the bank robber putting like coins in a parking meter. But actually, it kind of makes sense because if you got a ticket, then they would have a record of where you were.
But they also,
and your license.
I guess if you pay cash.
Yeah, he was paying cash. So
here, okay.
Yeah. But I mean, they've got the video.
When you're robbing the bank, make sure you pay cash.
Yeah.
That's official advice from
cash for your parking. W-O-R-T. For all you bank robbers out there.
So. Okay, here's an interest. I got more ChatGPT stats for you.
Yes, sure.
I asked it, are there more bank robberies in the United States or the United Kingdom, and how many? In 2023, because I guess that might be their soonest data, FBI data says there were about 1,300 bank robberies in the U.S., which was actually down from other years.
Yeah.
In contrast, in the U.K., there were under 60 bank robberies.
Really?
For the whole year. Yeah. I mean, you got it. Even if you correct for population, the U.K. is like, what, like half or a third of the population of the U.S.? That's still significantly lower. My theory...
They need more guns, I think, is there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to go in with a stick and hold up a bank.
I mean, if you're good.
Yeah, if it's a good, big stick.
If you're good.
Yeah. a pointy stick.
Yeah.
Give me the money or I'm going to give you a splinter.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that, you know, first of all, I'm surprised they got 30 million pounds out of that bank. That's a lot of
cash. Crazy.
I didn't think banks had that much cash anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's all digital money now. But, you know, like Willie Sutton famously said, and when asked why he robbed banks, he said that's where the money is.
Well, maybe there's just like a QR code. This is a big. They open the vault and there's just a big QR code on the wall.
Follow this link for 30 million, million pounds.
Yeah, they scan it and then there's you're like, all right, how much do you want? What's the most I could get out of this?
It's like the self checkout at Menards or something. So.
Man, bank robbing used to be so much more fun.
Yeah, I mean, now they just give you like a meme coin or something, and go, that's all we got here. We don't have any money, but we got some pens. But
that's the new Ocean's 11 movie.
They open the vault and it's like just a bunch
this?
Of computers,
and then the whole movie is just George Clooney trying to figure out how to use an iPhone. What does this thing mean? You're telling me they don't have menus at this restaurant anymore?
I know I'm labeling myself as a boomer here, but I hate that one.
I am with you.
You know, here, look at this. I mean, I got it during COVID. You didn't want to, you know.
Yeah, to me, it's just so tacky.
It really is tacky.
Yeah, like, give me, like, put... It doesn't cost very much to design a nice menu.
It's part of the ritual. You sit there and you peruse the menu and you can hold it up and people can't see your face stuff. So. The Jaguar's here.
Here I am.
Hi.
Hey, how did it go last?
Oh, hang on here. I'll put you up.
How, how'd it go last week?
Good. It was fun.
Yeah.
I had a blast. I did the Jaguars show last week.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Fun. It, which is up on the archive.
Yeah.
For 2 weeks.
A lot of like power pop and pub rock. And,
oh, cool.
I ended up doing a lot of covers, which I didn't plan, but it just kind of, you know how that goes.
Yeah, covers can be fun.
Yeah. It's like a familiar song, but it's different.
Yeah.
So I kind of like those. So.
Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Yeah, it was great fun. So.
I haven't had a chance to yet, but I'm super thankful and grateful that you were able to do it.
Yeah, no, I had a blast. So Smarty Pants sat in for about an hour as the wacky sidekick.
Yeah.
Mostly he sat there and did the New York Times crossword puzzle.
Did you keep his mic on so he could just laugh?
Yeah.
Like over the covers?
Yeah.
The music is playing. What's a five-letter word for...
I'm going to rob this crossword puzzle.
Well, now that it's the new year in North Carolina, we were talking about...
Oh, they made it to the new year there?
They did make it to the new year, and in fact, they improved things because now, officially in North Carolina, there are only two sexes. There's boys and girls. That's it.
Oh, I was thinking something very different.
No. There's missionary and the kinky stuff.
We'll see what the other one is. Call in if you can guess what the other one is.
It's North Carolina, so call your cousin if you don't know. But it's there's none of that squishy in between other you know stuff where people you know because otherwise
that's too weird.
They're just going to join women's sports teams.
I don't get it. So you're telling me there's something else. Hey, I have a question for you.
Yes.
If a man and a woman get married in North Carolina, are they still considered brother and sister?
Ask your friend ChatGPT that.
No, I'd rather not. Okay. I have some sad January 1 news.
Okay.
Local.
Okay.
Himalchuli closes after 40 years.
Oh, I saw that. That was a wonderful place.
Yeah, I really like that place. It actually just came up in conversation when I was home in Virginia. Someone had been to Madison years and years ago, and they said, I was at a Christmas party, and they were like, oh, that was the first time I had Nepali food, was at Himalchuli. And here it is. It's now a few days later, it's closed.
It was a great place for vegetarians because you didn't
so good.
You didn't have to dig too deep in the menu. So.
I know. Just sad.
Man operating robot accidentally makes it kick him directly in the groin. There's our future, folks.
That is the future.
The robot overlords are going to just come around and kick us in the junk. No.
Who was it that said, if you want an image of the future, imagine a boot stomping on a face forever?
Yeah.
That's like a famous quote from George Orwell or someone that. But this is the more realistic. If you want a vision of the future, imagine a robot kicking someone in the nuts forever.
And he did it to himself.
Who did it? Yeah, he did it to himself.
He screwed up the programming. Some men downplay climate change because they think it's feminine. According to new research, it provides evidence that men who are concerned about maintaining a traditional masculine image may be less likely to express concern about climate change. The findings suggest that acknowledging environmental problems is psychologically linked to traits such as warmth and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
We can't have that.
Mm-hmm.
These traits are stereotypically associated with femininity in many cultures. Consequently, men who feel pressure to prove their manhood may avoid environmentalist attitudes to protect their gender identity.
All right, listen up, fellas.
And go get a great big truck while you're at it.
Well, you know that they, this is related, but they made like the electric versions of, you know, like Ford F-150.
Yeah.
And they, because it's silent,
they had to
program in fake noise to protect the male egos.
I love that.
Listen
to the power this baby's got here.
There's nothing manlier than a big old windmill.
Yeah.
You know? And,
I hate windmills.
I mean, I guess like you can't roll coal on someone, you know, and be an environmentalist. So
that's true. What do you do? Just kind of.
Yeah.
Zap them or something with it.
Plant a tree.
Plant a tree.
Let's make planting trees manly.
There you
How
go.
How do you do that?
That's pretty manly. You know, lumberjack stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I planted 50 trees last spring.
Wow.
So I don't know if they're like little ones. but then I got hurt and I couldn't take care of them. Oh. So I think the deer probably. I haven't been back there but since winter, but I think the deer probably had little snacks.
Yeah.
Oh, what else is going on here? Oh, wait, I mentioned the super moon, the super wolf
super
moon.
Super wolf moon, yeah.
Yeah, and you and DeSaga both, you know, chimed in on that and howled. But tomorrow, it's the wolf moon, and it marks the first full moon and the first super moon of the year. So it's a super wolf moon tomorrow.
I still don't really know what a super moon is.
It's when it's really...
It's just lower in the horizon, so it's bigger?
Super moons appear slightly bigger and brighter than a regular full moon. And in truth, the difference is imperceptible to the naked eye. It still makes for a great reason to get up and get out and go look at the big ass moon there. So I didn't realize they weren't actually bigger. That's kind of disappointing then. That's kind of
slightly bigger.
Yeah.
ChatGPT says slightly bigger, slightly brighter.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So
the wolf moon, the traditional name for the January full moon, comes from old European and Native American traditions. People said wolves were heard howling more in the winter when food was scarce.
Oh, sure. So, boy, I had Clopsy out the other night about 10:30 or so. I take him out before bed, and we live out in the boonies, and the coyotes were just going insane. It must have been like maybe it was New Year's or something, but boy, they were just howling away. And
does Clopsy respond to them?
Not really. It's funny. I think he gets a little intimidated when they're that. When they're that many and they're that loud.
But, yeah.
I mean, he'll bark at... But, I mean, he barks at TV dogs and TV horses and stuff. Sometimes I'll be sitting watching a movie and he's sitting next to me and then all of a sudden I'll hear him start growling and I'll realize there's, like, a dog.
Are just, you know, two-dimensional dogs. He can... Out man them.
Yeah, well, he's only got the one eye, so I think I think he sees the two dimensional dogs better than he sees the 3D coyotes. But so get out and look at the super wolf moon tomorrow.
Yeah, that'll look cool.
Yeah,
it'll be over the lake too.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Liberals and conservatives prioritize concerns differently. No kidding. So, but
wow. Okay, this has to be AI generated news.
Probably.
If someone, there's no way someone got paid to write that.
says there was new research in Portugal. They hold a lot of the same values.
Okay.
But it's just a matter of how you prioritize them, of what you think is important to you.
Everybody pretty much wants more or less the same thing.
Yeah. So, this theory proposes that human morality rests on five innate psychological pillars. These are care, fairness, loyalty, authority, and purity. So care involves protecting others from harm. Fairness focuses on justice, essentially. Loyalty pertains to devotion to one's group. Authority relates to respect for hierarchy and tradition. And purity concerns the sanctity of the body and spirit.
I wonder how do liberals and conservatives differ on their idea of purity?
That's a good point.
That's a good question. I don't have anything funny to say about
But the conservatives, you know, as you might expect, tended to prioritize things like hierarchy and tradition and the purity and the liberals more things like protection and justice.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that we have the same kind of basic building blocks, the same kind of DNA.
Different answers to get to the same, or different ways to get to the same answer.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what, like, you know, a lot of times people say, well, you know, we're not all so different. If you could sit down and talk to some, you know, people and, you know, some red voters in Oklahoma or something, you'd probably find you have a lot in common. I think that's true. I think, you know, people, they want a better life for their kids. They want a good job. They want a decent community to live in, you know, and it's just a matter of how you define those things.
I think the most kind of like the people who are in the best position to do that too are the ones who at first glance you're biased when you look at them. You would think that they're MAGA or think that they're a conservative. But then when you start talking to them, you're like, oh, they're actually a progressive person.
Yeah.
Like I had a friend who, you know, very presents very masculine, big guy. And you look at, and he like works on cars, construction, all this stuff. And you like, oh, you just kind of make this assumption that he's a MAGA or something. And then, so people at work sites will be saying some, you know, misogynistic stuff and he'll just calmly check them. And they're like, oh, you have some power there because you can kind of like get your foot in the door on
this. Yeah, no, that's a great way to do it. Cause you know, they don't have the shields up. To begin with, they think, oh, you're one of us and I can talk to you. And then so that actually your message gets through then.
Before, yeah.
You know, maybe they put the shields up then, but they at least they realize, oh, maybe that wasn't great to call that guy, an F word or something.
Right. So. But if you look like me, just an academic nerd, it's a little harder. It's like no one's mistaking me for a MAGA.
Well, you need more guns and a big truck.
And
a red hat. I don't know if you put on a red hat.
That's all it takes.
That's pretty much
one red hat away.
Yeah, it does make you dumber though. I have to warn you.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, it's all right. You're happier that way. So, hey, I want to get this in. This was somebody put together a list of the timeline of the fraud up in Minnesota. The daycares and all that stuff, because it's getting so much attention now.
And
the right wing is going crazy because they sent some YouTube truther up there and acted like he broke the story, which has been going on for about 5 years now, and it's nothing new. So, but anyway, here's the actual timeline. I hate to bring facts into this discussion.
That's so lame.
In 2021, the Minnesota Department of Education suspected fraud and they reported it up the chain. Governor Waltz has, since 2021, been working with the FBI, Minnesota State Police, and local police informants. In September of 2022, federal prosecutors made public that they had handed down indictments in what they believed was a criminal fraud conspiracy. The first to be indicted was Amy Bach, the fraud ringleader. And just a side note, Amy is white.
Mm-hmm.
She's not from Somalia, as you know, a lot of the right wing stuff says. She was tried and convicted in March of last year. In December of last year, new arrests were announced. To date, 92 suspects have been arrested and charged, and 62 of them convicted. You're speechless because I brought some actual facts to the show.
I don't know
here.
How to respond to facts.
That's what does not compute. But how do you feel about this?
How do I feel
that's,
about it?
That's
I'm not surprised.
More valid. I mean,
I'm not surprised that it's white people. We're always in the best position to commit fraud.
Well, I think she was like the executive director.
Right.
Or something,
you know, it's always executives that are doing the frauding.
Right.
It's like,
right.
That's not a poor person crime.
No.
A poor person crime is robbing a bank or a convenience store.
Stealing diapers or something. So,
but wait, so they're trying to say that it's Somalis?
Yeah. And the Trump administration has responded to this fraud by, quote, pausing child care payments nationwide.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So, as Pants likes to say, they're kind of governed by anecdote. You know. There was this accident of a guy who was an undocumented worker and he didn't speak English, and so let's deport 30 million.
Therefore,
people.
Therefore, yeah, they're all doing it.
Exactly.
But some of them are good people. I'm not. I feel that is stupid. That's how I feel.
Well, thank you for that.
ChatGPT, tell me how to feel. Oh, man. I think maybe I provide a good perspective on this show because I'm very out of touch with the news.
I like that. That's nice. You always seem surprised when I tell you
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, what?
Really?
We walked on the moon?
No way.
When?
I don't believe you.
Oh, hey, we got about a minute left here. We should declare. That's pretty good.
Yeah, thank you.
The weekend, yeah, as you can tell, we didn't prepare the little buzzer.
It's the first weekend of 2026.
It is. Happy 2026.
Yeah, do you got any resolutions?
No, I don't do that.
Yeah, so. I don't either, really.
I know better than to trust myself. I don't believe anything I say.
I'm going to write the next great American novel this year. I haven't written anything in my life, but we're going to start off big.
I should write a novel this year.
Yeah, why not?
I used to write a lot.
And, really?
Yeah.
So. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
At least do some short stories.
I used to write a lot of those, yeah.
Cool. So,
but
anyway, this is the year.
Time for us to go. Stick around. The Kiosk is next. After that, Who Cooks For You with The Real Jaguar, Amy Goodman, Democracy Now!, Labor Radio, Blues, Friday On My Mind, all kinds of great stuff here on your favorite radio station. Luke, it's great to see you. Thanks for sitting
in.
So maybe you can come back next week.
I'll probably be here,
We'll work it out. So.
Cool.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great weekend. And it is 2 o'clock. You're listening to WRT 89.9 FM, Madison.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, January the 2nd.
This is Bird Note. For folks looking to try birding for the first time, getting started can be daunting. Should you learn every species call, every subtle feather pattern before you head out to look for birds? While it's good to prepare, there's a risk of scaring yourself out of starting and preventing the kind of hands-on experiential learning that's one of the best parts of birding. So when you have the time and energy, just go for it. Learning about birds is the work of a lifetime. That's why it's so rewarding. And there are great tools to help you out. Bringing a field guide with you is a time-tested approach. Even the experts turn to a field guide when they're stumped. Newer tools like the Merlin Bird ID app help identify which species you're seeing or hearing right on your phone. And if you can find another birder or a group to tag along with, all the better. You can learn from people with more experience and share the joys and struggles with fellow newbies.